Rick Ringer joins us in the studio. Rick's the director of the Organizational Leadership Institute at Illinois State University. How are you doing, Doc?
I'm well. How are you?
All right. I'm fine. Did you stay up late and watch the Oscars last night?
Not a moment.
Have you seen any of the Oscar-nominated movies?
No, I have not.
Kevin hasn't either, yet he watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
We had another Longmire binge, so we watched. We're trying to finish Longmire. So,
you got a deadline to finish?
You never know.
All right, what are we going to talk about today? Oh, I love this topic here: jerks in the workplace.
No. I don't believe that for a moment. I don't believe that for a moment.
Jerks in the workplace.
The high cost of incivility, we call it.
Yeah. All right.
What about jerks in the workplace? What do you want to know?
How do you deal with them? All right, go ahead, because I had a story associated with this.
All right. Well, you know, one of the issues is that jerks tend to have, people that we will call jerks at work tend to have some common workplace characteristics. And we're not talking about the guy, the idiot at the basketball game that screams at every bad call and is rude and disrespectful to those around him. We're talking about people that at work can be really sophisticated emotionally. Now, they don't necessarily behave that way. They're not necessarily overtly abusive to people. They're not necessarily the person that's screaming and yelling at every department meeting. They can be really sophisticated and really covert in their activities. But they tend to have some common characteristics. The first is they tend to view everything that happens and everything that occurs in the workplace as somehow about them and their accomplishments and their needs and what they want to get done. So they tend to see the world through this prism of what's in it for me, how am I affected, is this going to help me get promoted, is this going to help me get what I want to get. And because they often don't express that clearly, sometimes it's really obvious, but many times it's not, they can be difficult to work with because jerks also tend to be people or can be people that work extraordinarily hard and put in a lot of hours and get a lot of work done and accomplish a lot. And we often don't see the high cost of their behavior until it's maybe a little bit too late to deal with them. So they tend to be people that are sort of self-absorbed. This is about me. They tend to be really comfortable with conflict, which means they can make others feel uncomfortable and not feel bad about themselves. Most of us aren't that way. We don't necessarily like making other people feel uncomfortable. Jerks at work are okay with that. If you're unhappy, that's your problem, not mine. So dealing with them becomes critical because the cost can be really, really high at work.
Jerks or conniving, you know, because you have people that are conniving, you know, it's.
I'm not sure they're from a practical perspective, there'd be too much of a difference. We might make a distinction in that although, you know, we would say that jerks aren't necessarily the really loud, boisterous individuals. We tend to think of them that way. So we might make a distinction between the true jerks that are loud and abusive and rude verbally and physically and overtly versus those that are much more sophisticated and below the radar and more subtle in their approach. But the outcome is the same. They tend to destroy trust. They tend to have an impact on levels of confidence. And the truth is people avoid working with them. One of the really classic studies suggests that jerks don't convince other people. Other people just wave a white flag. They're just tired of fighting. They're just tired of the arguments. They're just tired of the debates. They're tired of the pressure. They just give up, and they go on to other things. So the impact on performance is high. What do leaders do? Well, leaders got to pay attention to what's going on in their work area and be really, really sensitive. And when people are violating norms around this is how we work together, you need to think about the other 12 people, not the one person that's causing the problem. And if he or she's causing a problem, you got to deal with it. You got to make a move. You can't let it fester and grow because the other 12 people are looking at you to solve the problem because they can't solve the problem by themselves.
Well, I can't because if I did, then I'd be doing the show by myself. Thanks.
I just don't believe that. And the problem is complicated, Scott, by the fact that jerks are often really high performers. They often get a lot of work done. And as a manager, you're thinking
tolerate their jerkness.
Exactly. You'll think since we talked about the Oscars, it's like a great artist. It's like a great athlete. It's like a political figure that gets a lot of things done. You're willing to tolerate the inconveniences, and you're willing to tolerate the lack of trust that's often created. You're willing to tolerate the abusiveness to some extent, because performance is high, and these are individuals that get things done, perform at a very high level, and a lot of roles in organizations are highly in what we call individual contributor roles. They don't require a lot of support from somebody else. So jerks can, in those situations, people that behave in a more jerkish fashion can probably function quite well in organizations because their impact on others is minimal.
Is it one gender over another? Are jerks more female or male? Have you done any studies? The reason I ask this is there was a study. They found women in the workplace are ruder to each other than they are to men, or than men are to women. Also suggest that women with more dominant personalities were more likely to be targeted by their female counterparts.
Yeah, there is a lot of research around male and female behavior in organizations. I haven't seen that study yet, but it wouldn't surprise me that it would not surprise me that that's the case. And I think there are a number of reasons that can be. One is that there are very clear social roles and social norms about behaviors in society. Alice Egli, who at Northwestern University has done the best research on this, she argues that women have what's called a communal role in our society, building community, maintaining relationships, nurturing companionship, friendship. Men have what she's called the agentic role, decisive, move things forward, accomplish things. And those role expectations go in the workplace. So men and women who violate them do stand out. So women who are not, what Egli would argue, women who are not as communal, they're not as warm, they're not as friendly, they're not as open, they're not as nurturing as society expects them to be, not surprising that they would be sanctioned for their behavior in organizations. It is a difficult role to balance for women in the workplace.
All right. You have some events coming up, seminars coming up?
Yeah, we've got a couple more leadership breakfasts coming up. One a week from today, as a matter of fact, Terry Knoll on how to build an innovative organization. Then in April, we'll do a session that I will lead on building employee engagement, two of our leadership breakfasts. Then we'll have actually some student programs kicking off in late spring that go over the summer and into the fall. A reading program that we do with our students. We get a lot of hope for a lot of community involvement in that one. Then we'll kick off another leadership certificate program in the fall. So we're planning on that one already.
All right. So, Dr. Rick Ringer, good seeing you.
Thanks for being here.
All right. And how many episodes of Longmire do you have yet?
I think we've got the sixth season left. I think we're almost through the fifth season. So 10 more episodes, more or less.
See, but once you catch up, it's over. And then you're like, oh,
I know. We'll have to find something else to watch.
Stretch it out. You could stretch that out for a year. You know, watch a couple.
I don't have that much patience, I'm afraid.
How are you doing on Weeds?
Not very good. I can't do that. Like,
really? Can't sit down and watch?
Yeah. Over and over again. So Weeds. Where's this show? Where are you getting it?
I think it's
Netflix.
From Netflix. Yeah, we're streaming it through Netflix.
Longmire.
Yeah, Longmire.
All right.
Yeah.
He's a sheriff, right?
Sheriff in Wyoming.
Wyoming.
So,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's filmed in New Mexico, so.
Go figure.
Where my wife and I used to live in New Mexico, so we recognize a lot of the places
that
we see. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. I watched the first season, and I never went back. I don't know.
Not for everybody, I suppose.
Well, you know what? I've got a lifetime to watch. There are so many things I want to watch. Okay, I'm going to watch that.
You never know.
And then there are things I forget I'm watching.
Well, yes, we have that problem, too.
Like iRobot. Was it iRobot?
I don't remember that one.
All right. Hey, good seeing you.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.